The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God. Brethren, in a recent conversation talking about the Bible, there was a statement mentioned. Now, this group conversation is just people that really don't know a whole lot about the Bible. But there was a statement mentioned that as a Christian, it was acceptable to God to hate a member of your family. And listening to this person's reasoning, they claimed that they could prove it out of the pages of the Bible because Christ claimed it so. So today I'd like to take a look at this mentioned statement to see what God really has to say about the topic of hate. Now, this whole argument was based on only one scripture. So if you would please turn with me to Luke chapter 14. In the book of Luke chapter 14, and we're going to begin in verse 26. It says, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sister, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Well, that sounds pretty convincing when you're a group that don't really understand the Bible. Of course, it says it must be okay. But a couple questions that come to mind that I wanted to ask to see if the person could give an answer. But the questions that I thought of was it allowable to hate those of the Christian faith who are not in your immediate family? If we could hate, the people in our family, could we hate others that aren't in the immediate family? Or what about those who are not Christian? Was it okay to hate them? And then the one that really come to me is there a different form of hate that we're supposed to have for those people who hate Christian values and want to destroy Christianity? Is this really what Jesus meant? The word might say we are to hate, but how do we hate ourselves to where we can become a disciple of Jesus Christ? Is this correct, or is this being misused in this context? Well, let's look at this word hate, since it seems to be the controversial word. And what does this word really mean in this context? In our English language, the word hate means to feel a strong dislike for, or hostile towards. We need to go to the root of this word because our present language does not really represent the true meaning of what Jesus Christ was explaining generations ago. So in Strong's, this Greek word for hate is called miseo, M-I-S-E-O, which means to detest by extension to love less. So today I'd like to stay only in the words of Jesus Christ, and let's see how Jesus explains if we hate not. So please put a marker here because we're going to come back to this verse. But turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. And we'll pick up in verse 19. It says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now, if we stop right there, doesn't this verse just contradicted what Luke 14:26 just said? That we are to honor our father and mother and not to hate them. Why? Well, honoring them helps us to appreciate their love. It helps us to apply building blocks to build this foundation of physical love towards them. It's how we learn to love others and to serve, to be able to serve other people. It's the renewing of changing of desires of ourselves and nurturing these other people, placing that attention to them. See, brethren, if we cannot learn how to love and appreciate the physical things, which are the things that we can see, the things we can touch, feel, and interact with, how can we learn to love and implement the spiritual things in which we cannot see? Let's continue to Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, picking up in verse 43. It says, "You have heard it been said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." Now, here is the same Greek word for hate, which is miseo. But there's something different about this verse. Jesus Christ is correcting the teaching. It is not being properly applied, because he goes in the correction in verse 44 saying, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and to pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust." See, God's word does not contradict itself. Only our human reasoning leads us down the path of confusion. We cannot study the Holy Bible to try to understand a topic by only using one scripture. For that much, trying to get the definition from one word. There have been many Christian claiming organizations who have done just that. They have built a multitude of doctrines off of just one scripture in the Bible. But brethren, we are to take precept upon precept, line upon line, search the scriptures over here a little, search them over here a little, so we can get the big picture of what God is explaining and showing us. See, God teaches us through repetition, so that we may learn how to deal with the physical issues that plague us over and over and over. It's so that we can learn how to apply the godly principles that God teaches us correctly, and where we can overcome the obstacles that weigh us down and separate us from God. When counseling for baptism, what was the one thing that we claim we understood? Now, it may not have come out exactly in these words, but what was the one thing that we claimed to understand? That following Jesus Christ would not be easy. That's why we were told, go home, meditate on it, count the cost, think long and hard about the decision that you are going to be making this huge commitment to. Because being a disciple of Jesus Christ is the most challenging thing we are called to do in our physical life. It is a matter of life or death. But with every effort we make seeing God, we can prevail over the sin. That sin that leads us to the road to eternal death. And through his teachings, Jesus shows us, his disciples, how to have the humility to be a humble servant, to give, giving them the power to be his disciples of his word, and preaching the gospel to the world and the soon coming kingdom of God. Turn with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And verse 21 says, he that hath my commandments, or he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. So with our desire to learn, our desire of proving God's word, and the desire of being an ambassador of Jesus Christ, what do we learn that is totally different from all Christian faith around the world? We learn that Christianity is more than just the professing of the name Jesus Christ. It is the keeping of God's commandment and his entire way of life. We don't get to choose which laws we get to follow and which ones we do not follow. God preserved his word through the generations, called the Bible. He's given it to us to say, here, learn it, understand. But being made of this fleshy substance we call flesh, it can be an impossible task. Unless we allow God's Holy Spirit to dwell in our lives to where it is not us living righteously, but it's Jesus Christ righteously living through us. Yes, being a disciple is not easy. But a newsflash, it wasn't supposed to be. Christ said they hated him, and they killed him for what he preached. What do you think they would like to do to those of the household of faith? And if we want to make it personal, what do you think they would like to do to us if they had their way with us? See, our accountability to God is faithfully executing our commitment and the task required to complete our mission at hand, walking successfully as his disciples, surrendering unconditionally to where there is no gap from one who is outwardly following Christ versus one who is his true disciple. Turn to John 15 and verse 13. It says, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Jesus Christ paid that ultimate sacrifice for all of mankind. We know that. But he didn't have to. God could have just said, you know, mankind, they're just a real pain. Let's just wipe them out and go back to the way it was. But you know what? Both Jesus and God the Father had so much love for man that Christ was willing to take the iniquities where we did not have to pay the price for sin, and he died and bled so we could live and have an opportunity to receive eternal life. Being a disciple of Christ, brethren, is the ultimate form of love and not hate. And Jesus asked those who are his disciples, those he has called, those who he has called his friend, to follow his voice and do as he commands, as verse 14 says. You are my friends if you, whatsoever I command you. So what does that teach us? It teaches us that we're to love the sinner and hate the sin, because we are continually being shown in our life through God's Holy Spirit that it is the sin that divides man from God and robs him of his true potential in life. These things I command you, he says in verse 17, that you love one another. We are to love one another as ourself. So hopefully you saved your spot in Luke 14. Let's go back and read this verse again. In Luke 14, in verse 26, it says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sister, yes, even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus is not telling us to hate our family members, or for that matter, anyone, as our English definition indicates. He is simply making the point that to follow his way of life means that our love for our family and the things of this world is minor. We're to love less. They are to be insignificant compared to the love that we are to have for God. Let me see if I can sum it up better this way. We are to empty all of our worldly thoughts, desires, and ambitions, living by the righteousness of God, learning of his very nature God himself lives by, and wants to give it to all of those who overcome the ways of this world. We are human. And we're not there yet. But brethren, that's not an excuse. That's just fact. We are human. But what we are doing in our life and what we're allowing Jesus Christ to do in our life is hopefully making ourselves ready to be in God's spiritual family when Jesus Christ returns. We literally give up everything to follow Christ. Our lifestyle, if it interferes in serving God, especially on the Sabbath and holy days. We continually removing ourselves from being involved in worldly ideas, holidays, and superstitions that take our mind off of God and place it somewhere else. Willing to choose to do the right things, being ready at a moment's notice, like a soldier in battle, ready to move without hesitation. Brethren, we serve God at all cost, even when we know it means the losing of our physical life. Satan is always setting a trap for us to step in, stirring up some form of controversy and strife in our life, trying to keep us distracted from living the full and complete way of life in the knowledge of God. We are to seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. The deeper our understanding and the meaning of love, the deeper our love and appreciation flows to those we do love and to those God allows us to serve because we have allowed Christ to manifest his way of life in us. So in conclusion of Luke 14:26, If any man comes into the knowledge of Christ and does not love less his father, mother, and wife, and children, and brother, and sister, yes, his own life also, he cannot be Christ's disciple, because he has chosen the desires of the flesh over the love of Jesus Christ. Brethren, may we love God with all of our heart, continuing to give ourselves as a living sacrifice to God, thanking him for his teachings and his continual protection he gives to all of us as we march forward for that day when we will all be one with him. For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.